He escaped. The prisoner escaped?
Yes, Your Majesty.
But he couldn't have. It's absolutely impossible. I had 16 soldiers guarding him. 16! Escape was absolutely impossible.
But he did escape, Your Majesty.
How? Tell me that. How did he escape?
We don't know, Your Majesty.
Of course you don't know, because he didn't escape. How could he? 16 guards and a cell dug out of solid rock. The prisoner couldn't have escaped. Scribe, tell me, did the prisoner escape?
He did, Your Majesty.
Impossible, impossible, absolutely impossible. Mad, that's what you all are. I'm all of you mad.
Uncle Ben, your preview sounds like something that could happen only in the make-believe world.
It actually happened, Aunt Sue, in today's Bible story, which I've adapted from the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 12. I call the story
The Eloquent King. This is the story of a king who was so eloquent in his manners, dress, and oratory that many people considered him worthy of worship as a god. This king's name is Herod Agrippa, King Herod II.
Yes, I am King Herod, king of all Judea. I'm also a Roman citizen, subject to Claudius, the Roman emperor.
You're a proselyte Jew.
Oh, not really. I only make the people think I have become a believer in the Jewish faith. But I am still a Roman by birth, belief, and standards.
To gain Israel's favor and support,
and
I suppose.
Naturally, I am their king. I need their unlimited favor and support, and my dear, I have it.
And what will happen when they discover you're a Jew in pretense only?
That will never be discovered.
It's bound to, sooner or later.
Never, my dear, never. I'm too wise to let a thing like that happen. The first King Herod put John the Baptist to death and received applause from the Israelite rulers and priests. The first King Herod was tough and unyielding to all who opposed the Israelite ceremonies and traditions. Me? Compared to me, that first King Herod was a sissy. Now watch this. Wife, I'm going to win the undying appreciation of all Israelites everywhere. Oh, Scram?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Set up an appointment with the chief priest of the Israelites.
Yes, Your Majesty.
I fail to see how an audience with the chief priest will ingratiate you to the people of Israel.
I'm going to join them, be on their side in their fight to suppress the new doctrine that says Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah.
Maybe he was.
You think Jesus was the Messiah?
I didn't say that.
Do you?
I don't know. I know only that the more anyone tries to suppress the belief in Jesus, the more it seems to spread.
I'll stop it. I'll put every one of them to death if necessary.
Just be sure you don't do something to bring about your death.
My death? Who has the power to condemn me to death? Except Roman authorities, and they won't.
Jesus of Nazareth has the power of life and death, if he is the Messiah.
You may come forward, chief priest.
Long live the king. Long live the king.
You may be seated here at my left.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
May I suggest that we dispense with these formalities and come to immediate discussion of the business at hand?
The business His Majesty has in mind? State? Personal? Or religious?
Religious, Your Grace. More specifically, the believers in Jesus. Christians, I believe they're called.
Yes, Your Majesty.
I believe that it is the desire of your priesthood office to be rid of this new doctrine.
I desire only to serve the best interests of my people.
My ambitions as King of Israel, Judea, and Tetrarch of Galilee is the same as yours, to serve my people.
Meaning, Your Majesty, that you...
That I am on your side, High Priest.
And against the Christians.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're a valuable ally, Your Majesty. You are on our side, eh? How strongly, Your Majesty?
Your wishes, High Priest, will be my command.
To what extent?
The limit.
Even to spoiling the Christian believers, their houses and goods.
I stand ready to prove my loyalty.
There is a certain man whose influence is leading many to accept this doctrine of Jesus the Messiah. He is a thorn in my side.
Scribe! Send the captain of my guards to arrest, what is the name of this thorn in your side, High Priest?
James, the brother of John, an original disciple of Jesus.
Scribe, tell the captain to arrest James, brother of John, at once and cast him into the royal prison.
Yes, Your Majesty. Long live the king. Long live the king.
Oh, His Majesty is a valuable addition to my cause.
In return, Your Grace, I expect your full cooperation and favor.
Oh, you have it, Your Majesty. Yes. Yes, indeed you do.
Tribe, has James been arrested and put in prison?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Send the royal executioner to behead James with the sword, as the first Herod beheaded John the Baptist. Scribe, take this down and distribute it to my officers. All leading members of the new religious order called Christians are to be imprisoned. Their houses and goods are to be destroyed. Signed, King Herod II, King of all Judea and Tetrarch of Galilee.
Majesty, we appreciate beyond measure what you are doing for our cause.
I thought you would.
The beheading of James was a stroke of genius.
I hear his fellow believers were grief-stricken.
Oh, that they were, Your Majesty. Yet we do wish that you would have beheaded him more publicly.
Yes. I should have.
A public execution would have more thoroughly intimidated the Christians.
And what a spectacle that would have been. Oh, I wish I had executed James publicly.
Well, there is something you could do, Your Majesty, to make up for the private beheading of James. Peter, you know, is one of the ringleaders in this Christianity cult.
Peter? You mean the Peter?
Yes, Your Majesty, Peter, the same one who denied Jesus 3 times during his trial.
You want Peter arrested?
Oh, more than merely arrested, Your Majesty.
Beheaded?
Put to death. It matters not how.
Publicly?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Scribe!
Yes, Your Majesty?
We suggest that he be arrested now, Your Majesty, but not executed until the opportune time.
Your request granted, High Priest. Scribe, bring your quill and ink and come out here for...
Citizens of Judah, Israelites, I am Peter, the Peter who denied Jesus 3 times at his trial. That same Jesus was slain on the cross, was buried, and after 3 days, resurrected. With boldness I stand before you and proclaim that Jesus of Nazareth is the long-looked-for Messiah. Jesus of Nazareth is the only name whereby your sins may be forgiven and an eternal home.
Stand aside. You admit that you're Peter?
Yes, I am Peter. And you appear to be a captain in His Majesty's guard.
I am.
You came to hear me, perhaps?
I came to arrest you. Corporal, bind and chain this man.
But, Captain, what have I done?
You're a prisoner. Personal prisoner of King Herod. Long live the king!
But what have I done, Captain?
Undoubtedly, you've incurred the displeasure of King Herod.
How?
You should know better than I. Corporal, place the prisoner in the center so he won't escape. Detail, forward, march! Corporal, chain and lock the prisoner to 2 of your biggest and best men.
Captain!
Well, what do you want?
Why have I been arrested?
I don't know. I wasn't told. Evidently, you committed a very serious crime.
To my knowledge, I haven't done anything wrong.
Then why was I ordered to take all these unusual precautions against your escape?
The king expects me to escape.
Well, evidently, he thinks you'll try. But you won't escape. Not in a million years. This prison, you know what it is?
Well, looks like a tomb.
It is. It's hewn out of solid rock. It has only one entrance, that door. And beyond that are two others. You'll be in here chained and locked to two guards. That door will be barred and locked with two guards on the inside and two on the outside. And the two doors beyond will also be locked and guarded. Escape? You'd have to go through three locked doors and pass 16 alert guards. And never in all my experience in His Majesty's guards have I been ordered to take this kind of precaution against a prisoner's escaping. You must be guilty of some awful crime. Corporal, place your men at the three doors. Captain of the Royal Guards reporting to His Majesty.
Yes, Captain.
The prisoner is securely locked in the tomb cell, Your Majesty, with 16 guards. It's impossible for him to escape.
Yeah, good, good!
The arrest and imprisonment of Peter greatly troubled the believers.
Brethren,
Peter has been arrested and condemned to die. I suggest, brethren, that all of us, the entire church, engage in fasting and prayer.
Has the opportune time for Peter's execution come yet, High Priest?
No, Your Majesty.
Well, I can't keep him in prison forever.
Well, soon now, Your Majesty, but right now, well...
You fear the people?
In a way, yes, Your Majesty.
In a way, I don't blame you.
Brethren, Peter is still alive. For some reason, probably because God so wills it, King Herod has delayed Peter's execution. We must continue to fast and pray.
You may come forward.
Long live the king.
Your message said that the opportune time for Peter's execution is here.
We beg His Majesty to proclaim that Peter, the heretic, is to die on the day after tomorrow.
So be it.
Brethren, word has come that Peter is to be executed day after tomorrow. This will be a death blow to the church. So we must continue to fast and pray.
It is now the night before Peter's execution. In the rock-hewn cell, Peter is asleep, chained to two guards. With the three prison doors securely locked and guarded, it is humanly impossible for Peter to escape. Suddenly, the gate of the outer prison wall opens without human hands. A mighty angel, sent from God, passes through the gate. It closes noiselessly behind him. The second and third gates open, and the angel stands in the presence of the peacefully sleeping Peter. Reaching out, the angel touches him.
Arise up quickly, Peter.
Peter awakens. Seeing the angel standing before him, Peter mechanically obeys and arises. He is dimly aware that the two chains have fallen from his wrists.
Gird thyself, Peter, and put on thy sandals.
Again, Peter mechanically obeys, keeping his wandering gaze riveted on the angel and believing himself to be dreaming. Once more, the angel commands.
Put thy robe about thee and follow me.
The angel moves toward the door, followed by the usually talkative Peter, now dumb from amazement. They step over the guards and reach the first heavily bolted door, which of its own accord swings open and closes again immediately, while the guards within and without are motionless at their posts. The second door, also guarded within and without, opens as did the first, with no creaking of hinges or rattling of iron bolts. They pass through, and the door closes again, noiselessly. In the same way, the angel and Peter pass through the third door and find themselves in the open street. No word is spoken. There is no sound of footstep. The angel glides on in front, encircled by a light of dazzling brightness. And Peter, bewildered, and still believing himself to be in a dream, follows along. The angel and Peter pass through one street. Then, suddenly, the angel disappears. As the brilliant light fades, Peter finds himself in utter blackness. As his eyes become used to the darkness, Peter realizes he is on a familiar street.
Why, I know where I am. I've often passed by this spot. And tomorrow, I expected to pass here for the last time. But now I'm free. How did I get here? Yes, let me see. I remember falling asleep with the two guards chained to my wrists. My clothes, sandals, and robe. Yes, I took them off, but now I have them on. That angel, the doors opening and closing, the sleeping guards, all that wasn't a dream. It was real. I'm free, delivered by an angel from God.
Brethren, we must continue to fast and pray. Peter is still a prisoner of King Herod, and we...
Rhoda, you go to the door and see who is calling this time of night.
Yes, sir. Who is it?
It is I, Peter.
Who did you say you are?
Peter! Let me in. It is I, Peter.
Peter?
Yes, Rhoda. Who was it?
Peter!
Peter? Which Peter?
The Apostle Peter.
The Peter who's in jail?
Yes. He's at the door and he wants to come in.
Why, Rhoda, you've lost your senses. It can't be Peter.
But it is. It is Peter. I recognized his voice.
It must be Peter's angel, not Peter himself. Peter's in prison.
It's Peter. He's not in prison, I tell you. He's outside the door and he wants to come in.
Well, all right, Rhoda. I'll go to the door with you and see for myself.
Who's there, and what do you want?
It's Peter. Let me in.
It is Peter. Peter. The next morning, a great crowd of people gathered in the street to witness the execution of Peter. With much pomp, ceremony, and display of power, King Herod sent for the prisoner.
You, my wife, want to know what the display of arms and power is for?
You're afraid Peter will escape on the way from the prison?
No, it's to stop all sympathizers before they have a chance to be sorry for Peter. And it's a good chance to show the people of Israel how powerful I, King Herod, really am.
Won't you change your mind and call off the execution of Peter?
Change my mind? Why should I?
Well, I have a feeling, a feeling of impending danger. Peter seems to have some sort of power that ordinary people don't have. It breeds ill omen for all who oppose Christianity.
Nonsense! Nonsense!
Here comes the scribe and the captain back from the prison. And they don't have the prisoner with them.
Come forward, Captain.
Long live the king.
Where's the prisoner?
Well, Your Majesty, it's like this. The guards and...
Where is the prisoner?
He escaped.
He escaped? The prisoner escaped?
Yes, Your Majesty.
But he couldn't have. 16 soldiers were guarding him. 16! Escape was absolutely impossible.
But he did escape, Your Majesty.
How? Tell me that. How did he escape?
We don't know, Your Majesty.
Oh, of course you don't know, because he didn't escape. Scribe, you tell me. Did the prisoner escape?
He did escape, Your Majesty.
Impossible, absolutely impossible. Mad, that's what you are, all of you, mad. Unless all you guards were negligent and let him escape.
No, Your Majesty. Why, we didn't even know he'd escaped until we went in this morning to get him and bring him here.
Oh, lies. You went to sleep. You let him escape. You shall die, all of you. Scribe, see that all 16 of the guards are put to death immediately. The people are expecting an execution. They shall have 16 of them.
Ha,
my wife dare question my decision to have those 16 guards executed?
I know that my husband and king realizes that those guards were not negligent in their duty.
How did Peter escape, then? Tell me that.
It wasn't by human effort. God in heaven rescued his servant Peter. That's how he escaped from an unescapable prison. You know that as well as I do.
Yes, I do know it. Yet I just couldn't admit such a thing to the people. It would be political suicide.
You'd rather defy God?
Oh, well, why not? God isn't going to somehow mysteriously punish me. God isn't that kind of a God.
Soon after this, King Herod caused a great feast to be held. This festival was attended by pleasure seekers from all quarters, and there was much feasting and wine drinking, all in honor of King Herod the Second.
Long live the king!
The highlight of this festival was the personal appearance of King Herod himself.
Long live the king! Long live the king!
Clad in a robe sparkling with silver and gold, which dazzled the eyes of the multitude, King Herod was a magnificent figure. The majesty of his appearance and the force of his well-chosen and eloquently delivered words swayed the assembly with a mighty power.
People of Israel, I say unto you that our king, King Herod, is more than a mere mortal. No mortal could look like that or speak with such eloquence. Long have we respected him as a ruler. Now I say unto you that it is high time we worship King Herod as a god!
King Herod knew that he deserved none of the praise and homage offered him, yet he accepted the idolatry of the people as his just due. His heart pounded with triumph and pride. Suddenly, a great change came over him. His face became pallid as death and distorted with pain and agony. He stood for a moment. Then, turning to the horror-stricken crowd, he cried in hollow, despairing tones,
"You have exalted me as a god, yet now I stand stricken with death under retributive judgment of God."
Guards, carry his majesty to his private quarters at once. Quickly!
King Herod died in great agony of mind and body. The same angel from heaven who had gently touched Peter to awaken him in the prison had now smitten King Herod. The angel smote the eloquent king to lay low his pride and to bring upon him the judgment of God.